Now we're coming to you live. Got it. Thank you for everybody bothering me the way you did. Anyway, good to be with you today. And here's what I was saying. If you can't lip read, too bad. If you've seen the first episode of this new Watchmen series I started, and I'm still going to go back and forth to the numbers as time allows, because there's still some good things I'd like to revisit about numbers and some new things that I've found. But anyway, I'm doing this series called Sightings. And the first part is going to deal with sightings of a supernatural nature, dealing with familiar spirits, ghosts, poltergeist activity, and the apparitions of different spirits in different forms, and so on. And the Bible covers all of this. And so anyway, but if you have seen this episode or was watching in the minutes prior to today's Pastor Mike Online broadcast, I used some of the examples that I've collected over the past year or so, and basically showing that girl raising up out of her bed and her mouth opening up about three times as big as it actually is. That's freaky. And maybe some people don't want to see that. But this is the day we're living in. And there is one of two things happening, or maybe it's simultaneous. One, either the amount of apparitions, sightings, photographs, video, CCTV captures, you name it, the amount of sightings is increasing because evil activity is increasing. Men shall wax worse and worse, the Bible says. So the Bible predicts a time when the evil of man will increase. But then, or it's possible that we're seeing more of this because of the advent of better cameras. This is now the digital age. I imagine that some company somewhere still produces camera film, but it's not a hot seller right now. There used to be, when I was growing up, there used to be little, what they called photo mats, or Fox Photos, or whatever. These little photo huts that you drop film off in, and you come back several days later and pick up your picture so you can see them. Well, now we live in the age where we carry a camera around everywhere we go, and there are closed circuit TV cameras everywhere that are capturing what looks like ghost events. Familiar spirits are being captured and so on, or it's a combination of those two things. There is an increase in this activity, and there is also a simultaneous increase in people's ability to capture it. I've said this before, the way that they make the sensors in electronic cameras is somewhat different than the way the eye is created and the way the eye works. There are things that, I've seen examples where people were taking a photograph, and a regular old Kodak photograph of kids playing in the yard, and all they saw was kids playing in the yard. When they got the film developed, they pulled out the picture. There's this big, dark, Grim Reaper-looking thing standing right in the middle of them. Where in the world did that come from? And digital cameras are made different. The sensors are different. And I think it's quite possible that those sensors are picking up things that normally the eye doesn't see. I also think that it's not outside the realm of possibility that some of these events are purposeful. And I'll tell you why. Whenever I'm watching a video, some guy in his house or a place of work or whatever, and he's filming cabinets opening and slamming shut with nobody there, doors slamming, people knocking on doors, and when they open the door, there's nobody there. Seeing the shadow, two-dimensional shadow beings, you know, crossing the path back and forth, and all of a sudden, these people freak out. I go running through the house screaming, and then they move. That tells me that that spirit got out of that event what it wanted. It put in to that person a spirit of fear. There is no doubt that one of the greatest tools the devil uses against us and against all mankind is fear. Afraid. We're getting to the point now, people are afraid to say certain things that should be said because of fear that their friends are going to forsake them, their family's going to disown them, or fear that they will get shut down, fear that, and I've had people call over the years and say, Pastor Mike, man, I'm so glad I finally got to talk to you. I've got some things to tell you. I said, well, go ahead and tell me. Well, I don't want to tell you over the phone. Why not? They're probably listening. And I'm going, you're probably right. But I don't care. Tell me anyway. What are they going to do? Take away your birthday? Did that even make a sound? It didn't. I got a brand new iPad here. And it's not, the program is not working. I don't know why. Oh, well, come on, Hoggard. There we go. Maybe I'll start it over again and see. But by then, the drum sound effect... There we go. But anyway, these devils instill fear in people's hearts, and it's just like an animal, a deer or a bear or a cat. Will instantly curl up, raise the hump of its back, inflate its tail to twice its size, hair sticking up all over it, showing its teeth, like that, as a means of trying to scare off a dog or another cat or whatever. I've seen little bitty crabs stand up and hold their little crabs up like this, going, I'm big. Gary, you better watch out for me. Dogs will show you the sides of their teeth. They'll turn sideways and get their haunches all big and everything like that. In the animal world, that's how it's done. A cobra, his hood will come out when he detects something that he needs to attack or he needs to scare off so he doesn't have to attack him. And when that hood comes out, he means business. He's trying to inflate himself. What does the Bible say about hell? Hell hath enlarged herself. And there's no doubt that the kingdom of Satan operates. It sort of reminds me of the movie Monsters, Inc., where the world of monsters sends monsters to the human world to crawl out from under kids' beds and scare the daylights out of them, and they scream, and somehow that energizes the monster world so they can keep all their machines running or whatever. But the kingdom of Satan operates on fear, keeping you from serving God. I mean, if you were there watching Stephen be stoned to death by the crowd, by the mob, by and Paul, Saul at that time, holding everybody's coats while they do it. He's consenting unto the death. And you know that Saul is out there on the loose. He's looking for people that have converted to Christianity. And they get scared. Oh, we can't let people know we're Christians. We can't let people find that out. Oh, no. And I get people ask me, Pastor, do you think the church is close to going underground? And I say, I hope never to be thinking that I have to hide what I am, who I am. And you're looking at, as far as scaredy cat's concerned, the biggest scare baby in the world. Okay? Maybe not the biggest. But I get fear, just like everybody else does. I get fear. The biggest fear I have is the fear of devils. When they attack, and I can feel the fear welling up in me. It's not based on any fact. It's not based on reality. It's just there. And I hate it. I hate times like that. But just remember, the opposite of that is God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Jesus said, fear not the one who can take away your life or kill. Fear the one who can kill both body and soul in hell. And so don't fear death. If you are saved and you are born again and you know it, then there's nothing to be afraid of, other than the natural fear that comes on us at death. And that's a natural expression. There's certainly no sin in being afraid, because if that were the case, there would be nobody in heaven, because people can talk like they don't get afraid at all, but they do. They sure do. They hide it well, but they do. Everybody does. Anybody that says that they do not fear, they're full of pride. They're arrogant. They're boasting about how tough they are and how they can withstand anything. And people like that, I got no time for. But anyway, the one of the biggest tools the devil has is fear, making us afraid. That spirit that God has given us of power and of love and of a sound mind basically means that when the time is right, we will not be afraid. Now, I was contemplating here, talking about one subject. By the way, you do this. I did it this morning. When I came in to the church this morning, of course, we don't watch the news anymore. On my YouTube feed, there was that bridge collapse in Baltimore, Maryland. And they actually have a CCTV camera of the event taking place. You can see that the ship, it was a big cargo ship, and it lost power, and it was veering right into one of the big concrete platforms that holds this bridge together. It's a big suspension bridge, looks like. Big steel bridge, and that boat ran right into it, and as soon as it hit it, every bit of that bridge, and it's a large bridge, it's not going over a river, it's going over a bay in Baltimore, and every bit of that bridge falls down into the water, and it happened at 1:30, which I guess is in itself a small blessing. Had that happened during rush hour this morning, that would have been a whole different catastrophe. As it stands, the last I heard, they were looking from anywhere from 10 to 20 people possibly being killed in this. They rescued two people out of the water. But pray for the families. It's too late to pray for those that have been killed. I know Catholics don't believe that. Mormons don't believe it, but believe it. It's too late to pray for them. They have lived their life. They've made their decisions. And now they must be judged for that. And but you pray for the families. Pray that they, in this event, that even if they ask God why, because people do when somebody close to them dies, they ask God why it happens. As if death doesn't happen to us. And death doesn't happen to people we know, but death happens to everybody. We ought to be used to it by now. But it still brings, there is a sting of death, and it brings a painful experience to us who live through the death of someone that we love, or when you or someone is in the process of facing death right then, that brings its own terror. And that's just part of life. So pray for those families. Pray that at least somebody would reach out to the Lord at this time, that God would raise up some good ministers that would preach the gospel to those who need it as they preach these funerals. But yeah, just pray. And if you haven't seen it, it's a real shocking thing to watch. When I was watching it, I went, oh. And one of the gals here that I showed it to, she started crying. So just lift them up. And I want to say thank you to everybody who prayed for my mother. She had surgery on Monday, yesterday, and she's in some pain today. She broke her left hip, and so they had to go and do whatever they do there. I think she said they glued it together. I don't know if they used any metal or not, but just pray for her. She's in quite a bit of pain, and nowadays they just don't give you anything for pain anymore. They just don't. And she will have to go into a rehab facility for at least 3 days, maybe a little bit more. But appreciate everybody's prayers for her. And I'm just saying this on her behalf. Thank you for praying. All right. Anyway, I want to do this because somebody asked me recently about whether or not we were headed for World War III, because that's what somebody told them. Somebody told them that, hey, have you seen what's on Facebook? Wow. The Oracle of All Truth, Facebook. Have you seen what's on there? Why? They're saying that everything that's going on now is going to bring about World War III. And I said, well, here's what I know. I know that there are going to be wars and rumors of wars. There are going to be earthquakes and pestilences in diverse places. That means various. And there are going to be men's hearts failing them for fear. You know what? Let's read Matthew. Matthew, I appreciate you. What a great disciple you were, being given the honor of writing the very first book of the New Testament, Matthew 24. And I want you to notice this. The disciples, Jesus has told them that the temple's going to be destroyed. That put fear in them. Tell us, when shall these things be? And what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed. And I like how Jesus started out with that. What he's saying is, quit listening to rumors. Quit giving your heart over to believe everything you see. You know, before the internet, there was still ways that people shared information that was of a sensational nature, I'll say. They would write books on prophecy and talk about how this helicopter fulfills Bible prophecy. Yeah, Hal Lindsey said that. He said the Apache helicopter was a fulfillment of Revelation 9. And that's what John really saw coming up out of a pit, was Apache attack helicopters. And the face of a man was the man sitting in the pilot seat, and the hair of a woman was the rotors being spun around. And how ridiculous do you have to get to sell a book, right? But he had everybody in the 70s worked up with fear. Fear that World War III was going to break out at any moment. If you go back in the 60s, in the Cuban Missile Crisis, people were digging bombshells in their backyard, stocking it with canned food and all kinds of stuff in there. And you have people now building bunkers and spending all kinds of money on trying to survive. And here's what I hear them say. I've got enough in here for 7 years. Well, what are you going to do at the end of 7 years then? Well, they won't last but 7 years. That's what the Bible says. Really? But that's what people do. They get full of fear and they just start stocking up on everything and they start believing everything that comes out. People sent out newsletters. They wrote tracts. They wrote books. Just all kinds of things. Preachers preach sermons that got everybody's attention and so on. And it just, there was ways of doing it before the internet. But now with the internet, everybody can join in. And you have people that are not even saved, not even born again. But they talk conspiracy talk. And you like that kind of stuff. And so you listen to that. And then it's like you believe what they say. And then when they're wrong, they never admit it. You don't recognize it. You just kind of skip over it. Well, you know, everybody can be wrong once. Not in God's book, you can't. But anyway, they'll be wrong. They'll never admit it. And they'll move on to the next thing. Okay? First it was Obama. Before that, it was Bill Clinton. Bill Clinton was going to dive us all into the New World Order. And then it was George Bush doing it. And then it was Obama. And then people were saying Trump was going to do it. And now Biden, he can't do anything. But it's fear-mongering. And it gets, you know, the... What all have people asked me about? The Mandela effect instilled fear in people because they honestly believed that the Bible now was wrong in what it said. That we had shifted to an alternate timeline, an alternate universe, and now that we're in this alternate universe, some things that the Bible used to say, it doesn't say anymore. You know, like the lion shall lay down with the lamb. Yeah, that was in the Bible. I remember it clearly. No, you didn't. You misremembered it. And for some reason, for some strange reason, it was absolutely imperative to those who switched us to this new timeline to change the spelling of the Berenstain Bears. Absolutely vital that we change this butterfly so that its wings don't produce a storm 100 years down the road. People ask, Pastor Mike, is this true? No, it's not. And so you have in your Bible, here's Jesus. He says, he answers them, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name. They'll act Christian. They'll act conservative. They'll say, I've got conspiracies here, and I'm your man because I used to work for the CIA, and I was an insider, and I'm a whistleblower. That's all they have to do is identify themselves that way with no proof whatsoever. And then people pass it around. Oh, listen, you got to listen to what this whistleblower is saying here and what this CIA agent is saying over here. Many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And ye shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See what Jesus tells us right after the rumors of wars. He didn't say, you better believe them, because they're telling the truth. No, he said, see that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Do you want the Bible to be wrong? Do you want what Jesus said to turn out to be a nothing burger? I'm holding one in my hand right now. And boy, is it juicy. Is that what you want? Jesus said, all these things must come to pass. Now, when Jesus says, this has got to happen, you don't understand, this has got to happen. Remember, he said that about himself pertaining to going to the cross. Peter thinks, like many of us who have bought guns and bought lots of ammunition, Peter thinks like us, and we think like Peter. Peter says, I'm going to take me a sword, and I'm going to start chopping some ears off, and I'll stop this thing from taking place. That's what I'll do. You watch and see. I only serve Jesus, and Jesus does not want some tyrannical government.
Yeah, he does. He does. You don't believe me? Joel chapter 1, for a nation has come up upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion and hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. Now, does God say, and nation wants to come up to my land. But if my people raise $5 million, I can stop that nation from coming up upon my land. Is that what God said? Did God say, if you have enough faith and you speak it into existence, then this nation can't. If we can get 1 million people to pray, Ted Haggard, the homosexual, now we know he's a homosexual methamphetamine addict who made the prediction. I remember this clearly because I wrote him an email. He made the prediction back in Operation whatever it was after 9/11. He prophesied and said the Lord gave him a dream, and he said that if we could get 1 million people praying, then no American would die in this war. Now, what is it that makes Americans more special than anybody else in the world that they don't die? I don't get it. But that's what he said. And so as the casket started coming home with American flags on it, I wrote to the only email address that I had, which was a prayer center that he built that was part of his church there in Colorado. And so I emailed and I said, this is for Pastor Haggard. We now see Americans coming home in caskets, and they have died in the line of duty in this Iraqi war. And so please tell me, was it because we didn't get 1 million people to pray? The answer I got back wasn't from Haggard. It was from somebody who ran his little prayer center thing and said, I didn't make the prediction. You'll have to take that up with Pastor Haggard. In other words, he said it, I didn't. I didn't say it, so I don't have to answer for it. But people fell for that. And they honestly believe that if that God sits in heaven and he waits for enough people to pray all at the same time, then he'll do something about it. But that's not what the scripture says. Elijah prayed one prayer one time, and it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And Elijah was no more better a saint than you and I was. The Bible says he was a man of like passions as we. Means he was made out of the same dirt you and I was. And he prayed one prayer one time, didn't rain 3.5 years. Imagine that. How many times have you prayed one time for something and God did it? It's happened. And so this nonsense about we just need to get enough people praying is not anywhere close to Scripture. If anything, God will take the army of Israel and whittle it down to 300. He'll reduce the number to show us that it's not by our might and power that this thing's going to be won. It's by God's might alone. So when God instructed Gideon to whittle the army down to 300 men, they didn't even fight in the battle. All they did was blow a trumpet, break their pitchers, and say, the sword of the Lord and of Gideon. And the armies, who was that, the Moabites? They lost their lunch when they heard that and they saw that. And they just, boom, gone. So that's how the Bible tells us to do this. So God says here, a nation has come up on my land whose teeth are the teeth of a lion. Well, that's the army in Revelation chapter 9. Let's see here. I'm looking for the word army in Joel. I think it's in chapter 3, is it? No, chapter 2. Chapter 2, yeah. The Lord shall utter his voice before his army. For his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, for the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? It's God's army, people. Look at this. Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. But he's going to let the army invade. Then he's going to take action. And then he says, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, and so on. Any questions? These things that Christ predicted are not subject to debate. They're not up for a vote. They're not going to be changed just because we got enough people to pray and our prayer was a vote to God saying, we want that changed. We just want you to make us wealthy and give us carefree lives all of our lives here on the earth and then rapture us and then you can go after everybody else. That's what we want. But Jesus said, take heed that no man deceive you, for many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. And you shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you be not troubled. For all these things must come to pass. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom. And there shall be famines, and pestilences, and earthquakes in diverse places. All these are the beginning of sorrows, not the end. Then shall now this is really going to ring your bell and wretch your stomach. Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted. Did you know that our Christian forefathers were stretched on a rack in a Jesuit or Dominican dungeon, torture chamber, until their bodies split apart, demanding that they renounce reading the Bible and swear allegiance to the Pope alone, and they wouldn't do it. Did you know that people were taken with their wives and their children, tied to a stake in the middle of the town, lit on fire, and the fire worked so that it worked slowly. And they did it in front of everybody so that the people would see this is what the church does to so-called heretics. Anabaptists. This is how the Catholic Church treats Anabaptists. We burn them slowly so you can hear them scream and so that they can hear their children scream because they would not deny Christ. They would not deny the Word of God. They would not swear allegiance to the Pope. And so this is how God wants us to do it. That's what our Christian forefathers had to deal with. Read Fox's Book of Martyrs, if you dare. They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you. I'm in. No, I don't want to be afflicted. I'm the biggest crybaby when it comes to pain that there is. But whether or not I'm appointed to that death or not, I don't know. I just know that I cannot go to heaven until I do. Then I can go to heaven. And do you think that after your first minute in heaven, if there is such a thing, that you will regret the sorrow that you went through here? Nah, not at all. Ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. Then shall many be offended and shall betray one another and shall hate one another. We're doing that right here in this country. Many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, and let me tell you who the number one false prophet is going to be until Revelation 13 is fulfilled. AI. AI now, I got a thing on my phone. It was on Instagram that ChatGPT 4.0 is ready to be installed on my iPhone. That is anytime you go from a 3-point something to a 4-point something or a 2-point something to a 3-point something, you're talking about a major overhaul. When you're going from like 3.1 to 3.5, it's minor changes. But anytime you go up a whole number, like from 3 to 4, you're dealing with major changes. And I don't know what the difference is yet, but I imagine that AI now just graduated to a much higher level of authority over mankind. Yep. Because, I mean, we're turning traffic lights, traffic cameras, policing, intelligence. We're turning Wall Street over to AI. We're turning the oil business over to AI. We're turning banking over to AI. We're turning curling irons and toothbrushes. I'm not kidding you on the toothbrushes. We're turning toothbrushes into electronic instruments that have contact with artificial intelligence. What on earth for? But it's there. I had the package in my hand last week. I'm not going to say the brand, but it's a major brand of electric or electronic toothbrushes. And now they're hooked up with AI. We are literally handing over the keys. We can't even brush our teeth. Crying out loud. Oh, get this. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now let me ask you a question. Do you think this world deserves World War III? Do you think it does? There is my wife was reading it this morning, and let me see if it's on the local news channel app that I have here. I'll go ahead and give you the story, and I'll see if I can find the article. But there is a high school in the St. Louis area that is rebuilding its what they call their commons area. We didn't have one of those. We just had a lobby in our high school. But these commons areas, I'm breaking news here. Okay. Oh, come on. Anyway, this commons area, it's where everybody eats their lunch. It's where everybody goes in waiting for classes to start or whatever. Entrance maybe to the gymnasium and so on. And they have bathrooms there. And so the bathrooms, they said, let's see here. No, not that. The bathrooms, they said, there's going to be a girls' bathroom, a boys' bathroom, and an every bathroom. For they or them to use the bathroom. Now, you've got parents in an uproar who are saying to the school, you are not going to let my daughter be in a bathroom where a biological male is going to be with her in the same bathroom. You're not going to do that. The school says, yeah, we are. And I'm like, they're opening themselves up to lawsuits. They are. And then you've got the issue, what girl is going to use that bathroom? None of them. Except for, you know, they. What guy is going to use that bathroom? Well, that's up for debate. We know the they guys will use the bathroom. And maybe some of the He-Man boys. Just to see what's going on, right? By the way, look at this. I featured this in Church Sunday. Let me get full screen here. I'm going to pause here for a major announcement. Look at this news article on Fox 2 News. Let's see. There we go. Festus Mann, that's Brother George Chance of our church. Festus Mann snags apparent world record fish from Mississippi River. Festus Mann recently reeled in a state record fish from the Mississippi River that also appears to be a world record. 97-pound carp that he pulled in. 97-pound world record carp. And Brother George, you got to know the guy. He traps, he hunts, he fishes. He's like Grizzly Adams. He does it all, okay? And, Grizzly Adams without the hair. And, we were just proud as we can be. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy and a better fisherman, okay? But anyway, this school is going to go with this generic, everybody can go in bathroom. That's iniquity abounding. We have gotten so loose in our morals that we have let the LGBTQ crowd, which is probably the most immoral of people that live in our communities. I'm going to pull back that statement a little bit. There are exceptions. There are exceptions, and that's all I'm going to say. But that, let's say that militant crowd, they're some of the most immoral people in our communities. And we're letting them dictate to us what is right and what is wrong. And according to them, they've made the push, and this school is going to go along with it, and they're sending a message that this is right. This is good. This is what needs to happen. And this will better our community and our standards, and we will produce a greater quality student for the future of Missouri and America, and the world, right? No, not going to happen. Iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold, but he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Now, I just believe the Bible, and I'm sorry that you don't, but that's what I believe, okay? Now, let me go to what I was going to look at. I was amazed when I typed this phrase in, fear not, fear not. That's what came to me when I'm trying to answer the question, is World War III right around the corner? What's going to happen November of this year. Gosh, I can't even say that. What's going to happen with the election this year? I don't know. You don't know. A bunch of prognosticators on Facebook, they don't know. They're just guessing. And they're guessing to get more attention to their page, to their feed, and so on and so on. And people are feeding on that, and they're just feeding. What are you feeding when you sit and look at conspiracy stuff all day long on the computer? What part of your nature are you feeding? Fear. You're feeding fear. And there is what's his name? I can see his face. Come on, Mike. He got sued. He's a big mouth on the internet and some radio stations. And got sued over the Sandy Hook Elementary thing. You know what I'm talking about. Talks like this. Does listening to him for hours on end, does it feed your faith or does it feed your fear? Which is it? Guys like that feed your fear. Because he's trying to convince everybody that all we need to do is band together. That's all we need to do. Once we band together, and I knew somebody would have the answer. Alex Jones.
Once we band together, we can stop this new world order and keep it from coming further into the United States of America. I'm one with you, standing up for liberty, standing up for our rights, standing up for the Second Amendment, standing up for Trump, standing up for this and that and the other. And if we just get together, and if you send donations in and you send money in to our thing here, we can pay off these lawyer bills, and we can pay off these lawsuits here, because they're trying to get at all my money, and I gave it to my mom and dad and put it under their name, which is illegal. And it is. If you're being sued and you're trying to file for bankrupt while you're being sued, they won't let you. And when you try to hide money after you've been sued and got a judgment against you, you try to hide money, you go to prison. But does he feed your faith or does he feed your fear? He feeds your fear. And he makes up this idea that all we need to do is band together and put Trump in for 4 more years and we're going to fix the country. Not going to happen. Jesus said these things must come to pass. They must. Then shall the end come. God told Abraham, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." Somebody say amen. God's our shield. What need further have you of more bulletproof vests, more armor-piercing rounds, more paintball war games? I mean, what more do you need if you have God as your shield? Do you not remember when Elisha's servant recognized that he was surrounded by chariots, that Elisha is sitting there eating a beef jerky? What are you scared of? Did you see the chariots around us?
Yeah, I saw them.
Lord opened his eyes.
And when the Lord opened his eyes, he saw chariots of fire and horses of fire all around. And Elisha said, I'm telling you, they be more that are for us than are for them. You want a piece of beef jerky? I kind of think that's how it went down. But anyway, the Bible's the Bible. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Not only do you have a promise of supernatural protection, you have a promise of eternal life after that. What is there that you don't want? The angel of the Lord even appeared to Hagar. What aileth thee, Hagar? Fear not, for God hath heard the voice of the lad where he is. He says it again to Abraham. I am the God. Oh, no, this would be to Isaac, maybe. I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. Let's see. I am with thee and will bless thee and multiply thy seed. Again, what is it that you don't want to happen? 63 occurrences, and I don't have time to go through all of them. Look at what Joshua, the Lord said unto Joshua, fear not, neither be thou dismayed. I like it when God follows it up with fear not and this. Neither be thou dismayed. Take all the people of war with thee and rise up and go up to Ai. See, I have given into thy hand the king of Ai and his people and his city and his land. Amen. That's what God is offering us. The place where the evil angels inhabited heaven, God's going to kick them out, and we're going to get to live in a mansion already prepared for us. That's what God told Moses and Joshua and the Israelites. He said, when you go in, you're not going to have to build houses. They're already there. Ceiling's a little high, but hey, you know, you can figure out a way around that. Doors are big and thick, and yeah, giants, they sleep on rocks, but you know, other than that, you figure it out. And then Joshua turns around two chapters later because he believed God. Remember, Joshua and Caleb were the only two out of the 12 spies that said, this is ours. Why don't we go in and take it? They believed God. So here Joshua now being told by God, fear not, don't be dismayed. Now Joshua said unto them, fear not, nor be dismayed. Boy, what a ministry you can have with people when they are losing it everywhere. You can just gently just touch their back or shoulder and say, God's got it. And God will deliver us all through this. He made promises to us in the Bible. And those promises he's going to keep. Fear not, nor be dismayed. Be strong and of good courage. For thus shall the Lord. Who's fighting this fight? Tell me that. Who's fighting the fight? I think we ought to let the Lord do it. Now, I keep a gun very close to my bed at night. Simply because I have precious people to me that are dear to me living in my house, and it's my responsibility biblically to watch over them and to protect them. And I have enemies. I have evil enemies. Our ministry has enemies. That's been made very clear. Okay? And I know some enemies you can't fight with a gun, but some of them you can. And you want to know my feelings on this, go back and watch the video, God, Guns, and Liberty. I'm not the militia type, although we the people are the militia. There's no doubt in my mind about it. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. And our founding fathers said that it was to keep our government a Republican government. A republic is what we are, not a democracy. And we're not socialist either. That's evil in its of itself. But right here, the five kings that they captured, we go back to this. Yeah. Therefore, the five kings of the Amorites, king of Jerusalem, king of Hebron, king of Jarmuth, king of Lachish, king of Eglon. You know what God said about the Amorite? He's as tall as a cedar. These were giants. And these giant kings, five of them, for death, went and hid in a cave, and Joshua's men saw it, and they told Joshua. Joshua said, go roast stones in front of the cave. And they did. They held them in there. Then Joshua said, bring them out. And they brought them out. And they said, lay them on the ground. Put your feet on the necks of these kings. For thus shall the Lord do to all your enemies against whom ye fight. 1 Corinthians 15, the Lord shall reign until he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And so the Bible says they took them and smote them. That means they beat them ugly. And hung them on five, take about 30 men to lift one of them rascals up. Five men on five trees hung them so that they would be forever cursed. And they were, because cursed be anyone who hangeth from a tree. And then when it came time for the sun to go down, they took them down off the tree because God made a commandment, says don't leave them up all night. That's wrong. And they put them back in the cave, rolled the stones there in front of it, and the stones are there to this day. Those giants have not come back on us. Amen. Let me get some new. Oh, you know what? I like the Psalms. Psalm 55. God shall hear and afflict them, even he that abideth of old, Selah, because they have no changes. Therefore, they fear not God. Oh, I like that. Let's see here. Oh, look. Isaiah 7:4. Say unto him, take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted, for the two tails of these smoking firebrands, for the fierce anger of, that's a joke, for the fierce anger of reason with Syria and the son of Remaliah. That chapter, I believe, yeah, because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah, three enemies, Syria, Ephraim, the son of Remaliah, have taken evil counsel against thee. That's a conspiracy. Saying, let us go up against Judah and vex it. Your vexing is coming from the internet. The devil, I'm telling you, the devil has raised up false witnesses and false prophets everywhere. You got half of these clowns telling you that this is going to be a great harvest for the kingdom of God. And what that means to them is you're going to send us more money because you got to sow the seed first before you can have your harvest. So you got half these clowns that have made everything that's going on about money. and about them. See, it's a new form of post-millennialism. It's called Kingdom Now. And these people, these guys, and I am sorry to say, but the MyPillow Now guy, Mike Bickle, or whoever he is, he's in with these guys. I've seen him on the stage with them. And these guys, it's like they don't know how to read the Bible. They operate and they preach almost solely on some dream that they had or some vision that God apparently allegedly gave them or somebody that they know who had a dream and a vision and a prophecy. And they talk about that all the time. Very seldom do they ever quote Scripture. Who's correcting me now? So the idea is to vex people. So I was saying this, half that crowd's about money. The other half are all doom and gloom and prepare. And we've got buckets and containers of health food that we grew ourselves, and we'll sell this to you. It'll last 25 years. Well, so surely that'll take you through the 7-year tribulation right there. That's what the other half is doing. They're pumping you full of fear, trying to get you to buy stuff off their web store. Mike Adams is probably one of the worst at it, meaning he's the best. They'll lie. They'll cheat. They'll make stuff up all to get money out of your hand into theirs. To them, that's what it's all about. They'll vex it and let us make a breach therein for us and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. God said, fear not. Say to them that are of fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, God, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense, and he will come and save you. Hey, amen. Oh, I'm liking this. Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. You know who that is? The Holy One? One of the devils that Jesus was going to cast out of a guy said that. We know who you are, thou Holy One of God. We know who you are. What have you come here for? It's not time yet. Let's move. Yeah, Joel 2. Fear not, O land. Be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. You know what you need? You need to just pump yourself full of this stuff. Read, it's only 63 verses. Read every verse where it says, fear not. But while he thought on these things, meaning Jacob, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. Oh, look, here's the verse that I butchered a while ago. Let's see what this says. Fear them not, therefore, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed, and hid that shall not be known. What I tell you in darkness, that speak ye in light. And what you hear in the ear, that preach ye upon the housetops. Explain to me, using scriptures, where this alleged underground church is going to be. Where can it be found in the Bible? When Jesus said things like, so let your light shine before men. Ye are the light of the world. Ye are the salt of the earth. And that the salt hath lost his savor wherewith it should be salted. It is therefore good for nothing, and to be cast out and trodden under the foot of men. So what good would an underground church be when there are people out there, while you're worshiping in secret or hiding the fact that you're a Christian, there are people dying and going to hell who would have listened to the gospel from your heart. Okay? They would have listened. But you're all talking about secret church and underground church and hiding from everybody. And, oh, we can't talk about this on the phone. We can't talk about this with our phones on. We can't. The New World Order will hear us. They already know. They already know. Fear. Okay, so then he says, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your father. In other words, sparrows are the cheapest kind of bird that you can get. But your father knows if even one of them falls to the ground. He knows it. The very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore. See, there's variances of that phrase. Fear them not, fear ye not. You can try that one after you're done with the 63 versions of fear not. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whosoever therefore shall confess me underground. No, it's not what it says. Confess me before men. Him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. These are the words of our Savior, people, our Lord. The head of the body. And the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Boy, do I know about that one. That was a. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter. And I tell you, I love my daughters, and I love my sons. We going. Me and the boys are going to a hockey game this week. We're gonna go and watch a fight break out. And go whoo 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 whoo. That's what we're gonna do. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. He that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. Let's see here. Oh, Luke. Master, we have told, this is Simon, Peter, Cephas. Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when he had done this, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help. We got us a 97-pound carp in here. And they began to sink. And when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of the fishes which they had taken. And so was also James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto Simon, Fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. When they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed it. They left all of those fish. Oh! Yuck! Ugh. They left all those fish in the boats. And Jesus started walking off, and they looked at each other. Let's go. And they followed him. From that day forward, they followed him. And all because Jesus said, Fear not. Aww. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God. And all these things shall be added unto you. Oh, you're not reading the scriptures, are you? Let me do this. Sorry about that. I am so caught up in this. Fear not, little flock. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Wow. Acts 27. Boy, there's a big gap there from John to Acts 27. Let's see here. Oh, this is Paul on the ship that's shipwrecked or going to be shipwrecked. In verse 20, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest. See, you can't, back in those days, they could not navigate. If it was cloudy overhead, overcast, and they could not, at least, they couldn't even tell where east and west was. The sky is just gray. And then the night sky, there's no stars. So, when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, no small tempest lay on us, and all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, Paul, where's he going? Where's Paul going? Is he going to start another church? No. Paul's going to have an appointment with his death. He made the appeal that as a Roman citizen, he is to be tried by Caesar. And the Roman soldier looked at him and said, With great sum of money, I bought my citizenship. How do you get to be a citizen, you little Jew? And Paul said, My father was a Roman citizen. It's inherited. So Paul was going to Rome to have an appointment with his own death, which happened right after he wrote 2 Timothy. We're pretty sure that 2 Timothy was the last book, last letter that Paul dictated. Paul's not underground. He's not hiding. In fact, when he was in prison, he didn't hide. He preached. He wrote letters. And here, he's on the ship that's supposed to carry him to Rome. And here he is, lifting up his God to these men, proving to them that his God is more powerful than any storm. And his God is the Savior of mankind. I just can't help but think that that had to have had some effect on some of those guys that were on that ship. How that when Paul said, God has told me, the angel of God told me, that none of us is going to be lost. We're going to lose the ship, but our lives are going to be saved. So fear not. I serve this God. I've been serving him all my life, or most of my life. I know what he saved me out of. And if God said he's going to save us, mark it down. We're walking out of this thing alive. And they did, exactly the way it happened. And then Revelation 1, which I think is a very timely place to put it, seeing that in Revelation you're seeing the six and seven seals opened, and you see that 1/4 of the earth's population is killed. You see that the earth shakes and heaven shakes. And it causes the fall of all of these angels in heaven. They're going to fall to the earth, the sixth seal. And you have the seven trumpets. And look how many people die there. And then you have, should I say it? The last trump. So, Jesus says, before we read any of that, he says, fear not. I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead. And behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and of death. Now, I'm going to throw something in here. Help me out. This theological belief that Jesus took the keys of hell and death from Satan. I'll be honest with you, I don't know where that comes from. I don't know. I've never read it. I could not point my finger to a verse that says that Satan or the devil or the serpent or the dragon or Belial or Leviathan or Mr. Tempter or our adversary, I never read where he originally has the keys of hell and death. All I know is that Jesus says it, present tense, I have the keys. I have them. So write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be. And some people put in the hereafter. Okay, but that's not what it says. Hereafter. Okay, after here. These things will happen that you're going to write. So you do your own study and just go through the scriptures. Look at fear not. Look at fear ye not. Look at fear thou not. Look at fear them not. Let's see. It may only be a couple of times. That's all right. Fear. My goodness, that's four times. about fear ye not? That's 8. That's 12 more verses for you to look at. You got about 62. The way it is, just fear not. You're going to put 12 more on top of it. That would be 74. You could study that tonight in your quiet time. I know I'm going to be afraid of something here. Probably in 2 weeks from now. Who knows? So I am accustomed with fear. And, you know, to be honest with you, seeing all that stuff that's going to come down, I could live with missing it, but if that's what we're appointed to, God must think that we're worthy of it. He must think we are. And so if He does, then you are worthy of it. And you'll be fine. You'll be fine. 1 minute here on earth, next minute, eternal life. Nothing wrong with that. God bless you. I love you. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring for the Word of God. And just thank you for your love for the people of God, both here and around the world, in Kenya or wherever they are. I thank you for your love for them and your love for God's Word. Pray for me that I can always be worthy of the calling that Christ has called me in. We'll see you tomorrow night.